Thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos on the Mile High Show. You're listening to episode number 48. A big show for me. I got a chance this week to sit down with three monsters of comedy, real powerhouses in the comedy scene, not only in the U.S., but around the world. The veterans of comedy, Sean Halpin, Willie C., and Eric Knowles, that while they're based out of Southern Cal, that's where they call home, at the Comedy Store in Hollywood and La Jolla are places they frequent, but they travel around the country as well as many, many trips overseas where they entertain the troops, those folks that that can't get to a comedy club like you and I are able to. And it's reeled down into the hearts of these three gentlemen because all three of them, Sean, Willie, and Eric, are also all three veterans. They'll talk about their time in the service and why it's so important to give a little back and bring, as they brought it out, bring the comedy club to the troops, is what they do. They give a chance for those men and women overseas to forget where they are for a while and let them just sit back and enjoy the laughter. So thank you to these three incredible comics for taking time to sit with me. Again, I view this as a real coup for the Mile High Show and for me personally to be able to sit down with them. And I want to thank Kat Fischitelli from the Prescott Valley Event Center for helping set that up, and the manager of the Tempe Improv, Chip, for making me feel right at home and letting us set up in the green room before the show to record. The show was recorded on Veterans Day this past Wednesday, November 11th, again at the Tempe Improv, where the Veterans of Comedy were hosted by local comic, but an international headliner herself. Jill Bryan just got back from a trip overseas in Europe, entertaining the troops, and I got a chance to sit with Jill, and hopefully we'll be setting up a podcast with her in the near future. She is very funny, has made the trip up to Prescott a couple times, I think. I've seen her once up at Brick and Bones, where she stopped in at Bobby Johnson's Comedy in the Loft show in the past. That's where I met her originally, and got a chance to touch base with her again tonight. So sit back and enjoy, and thank you again to Sean Halpin, Willie C., and Eric Knowles, and the folks at the Tempe Improv for letting us sit down and enjoy this episode, a special one in my eyes, of the Mile High Show, recorded at the Tempe Improv in Tempe, Arizona. Well, hey, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you sitting with me. And like I said, when you need me out of here, just open the door and kick me. Yeah. All right. I'll put links up to your social media and your web and Facebook and all that. But under the Veterans of Comedy, how long have you guys been doing that together?
This is actually exactly 1 year. Last night was our first show together in San Diego at the Comedy Store. Was our first show, so it's been 1 year.
That's it.
I know.
You guys have pounded a lot of miles in there. I follow you on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and that. What's farthest out you've gone?
Wow.
Ethiopia?
Yeah, that was the most exotic place. I think we did a tour in the Middle East for the troops with Armed Forces Entertainment in June, so we got to go to like 3-4 bases in Kuwait. Where else were we?
Ethiopia.
It was all scary. Every place we went.
I don't remember all the bases.
Djibouti,
now.
Ethiopia.
Oh, yeah, Djibouti,
Kuwait, Bahrain.
Now you guys were all Marines.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, Willie, you had, I was looking through their Army, Air Force.
Correct.
Educate me as a knucklehead. How does, is that normal?
I don't think it's normal. I'm not normal. I joined the Air Force when I was 17, my junior year in high school. And I went into the Air Force. I came out of the Air Force, went to college, University of Redlands in California. And then I joined the Marine Corps. came out of the Marine Corps. I went back to Missouri, where I'm from, and Fort Leavenworth was like 12 miles from my house. So joined the Army Reserves there. So
was the Veterans of Comedy. You're listed as the founder on the website. Was this kind of your,
you know,
your baby?
Kinda,
or?
We all, you know, we've all kind of came together on it. Eric and I had talked about this, God, 10 years ago, I think. We had started discussing this, and we tried to make a run at it a little bit. We did some shows in San Diego, and just kept on talking about it, and then met Sean, and it just all seemed to come together. So I think we all kind of co-founded it, you know? Mm-hmm. So
we've done lots of shows together before we formed this group that are a lot like these shows, benefits for veterans and the military and that sort of thing. And I think the first time Will and I worked together, I booked a show at the Comedy Store in San Diego called the Don't Ask, Don't Tell Comedy Show. Because there was a gay comedian that I teamed up with, and so he promoted to the gay community, and I promoted to the military. And I wasn't sure how it was going to turn out, but it turned out to be a really good
crowd. It was half and half.
Great show. Sold out crowd.
So nobody ate a dick that night. It was pretty good. That was a good show.
That wasn't a goal. That might have been a.
It was a fun.
It was
actually a fun show. I mean, the crowd was great that night. So he sold it out, and yeah, we just started talking and communicating about doing this and our desire to want to give back a little bit with this, and it just kind of all came together really quick.
That shared experience of having served and then obviously meeting your fans, the folks who come to the shows that have also served in the military in various ways, has that always been a theme throughout your stand-up routines and in your writing, or did it?
No,
was
it just
a conscious decision.
Well, as a stand-up, you kind of I just write to my friends whatever my friends laughed at, you know. And most of my friends were in the military, or you know, just have that kind of background. I think that most people in the military have this certain type of mindset. We kind of get the same things, we kind of laugh at the same things, and we kind of have our same views somewhat on politics or you know just kind of social issues. So I think as a fan base, you know, you try to connect with, you know, like-minded people and people that will get you. So we love doing shows for veterans because I think we're kind of from the same cloth, you know. So that's why we kind of reach out and do shows for veterans. But then also in our stand-up, I think, you know, some of our military background comes out too. But that's not, you know, the basis of our show. It's not all military jokes.
And
it's, you know, we find out some people think, well, it's, you know, it's not going to be for civilians. It's just going to be, you know, for military people. But we're comedians now. We're veterans. We were in the military. So, I mean, we've had lives before and after. Yeah. So, you know, we kind of just talk about that. And I think that, you know, if the veterans in the crowd are there, they'll get, you know, one type of joke. And then the civilians will get, you know, one type of joke, but then also too across the board, they'll get everything. You know, so
deciding factor is funny's funny,
right?
Correct.
Yeah,
exactly. The military thing just happens to be a coincidence that we all have in common.
Right.
You know, we've all kind of climbed the ranks as comedians on our own, and that's just kind of the confusion sometimes that we really want to try to get that out there. It's like we don't just do military shtick the way like it's not like a themed tour, you know, like a Latino type of tour, yeah. or you know, something like that. I mean, I have a lot of military jokes. I think I have more than the other guys. I have a big chunk of military stuff, just because. I mean, but I've been doing those jokes since before we started this tour. Most of them, but yeah, I mean, I talk a lot about being a stepdad and being a father. I talk about music and what I think of it, and just growing older, and so does everybody else, pretty much. I think.
Yeah.
You know, just the basic
we're
normal
all
stuff.
Pretty much real life comics. It's not,
yeah.
You know, we all talk about what's going on in our lives.
Yeah.
So.
When I saw you, I got the pleasure of seeing you guys perform, and I'm trying to remember exactly when it was. I want to say, was
Prescott.
It this past March?
Yeah.
In Prescott at a big venue for us. I mean, we were hoping that that event center was going to be a real marquee thing for our community. And anybody listening to this from up there knows that that you guys were definitely the highlight as far as entertainment. Big names coming through the
pedigree.
Got to
get that hockey team back there.
Yeah,
yeah, it was kind of eerie going through that empty hockey locker room. And
oh, man,
looking at all
it's
that
been
stuff.
Empty too long.
There was nothing like walking out to that crowd, though, with those Bigfoot background. those two trucks.
And monster trucks. And the color
fire
guard.
Department, honor guard there. I mean, it was a really neat show. You know, we had fun there. Got to see Mario Andretti.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just, there was a lot of neat things that went down that day, you know.
Your performance was a real jewel to that whole event, that salute to heroes, that not just the hockey team. They had been sponsoring it in past years, but Catfish, who set this up, so thanks, Cat. Mm-hmm. The event center, the Chamber of Commerce, a lot of the businesses over there really get behind supporting the military, supporting the community, and a lot of the folks up there, a lot of the community are vets.
Right,
right.
Cat sent me over a text. The funds raised that went to help the vets was just over $20,000 that weekend. So
a lot of that $50. What's wrong with that?
did he buy you a Subway from across the street? That's kind of his go-to.
We went to a new restaurant that was opening up that was really good. That was just right across the parking lot. It was a steak restaurant that was amazing. So they sent us over there.
There's a couple over
there. They catered that night or something to
it's probably Gabby's.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. So.
But like I say, you guys coming through there, just going through your credits and your history, your comedy store connection and different things like that, you guys were a huge draw for us to get up there.
Yeah.
And obviously here at the Tempe Improv, real nice club here, the comedy store, where is that kind of like your base or no? Or
Kind of. You know, started there. I mean, I started it in the La Jolla. Eric was there. Sean's a comedy store guy in L.A. And, you know, I mean, it's nice to be able to do that.
Yeah, these are the names that everybody around the country knows of, these marquee clubs and bigger shows.
We're really big at the Chuckle Hut outside of Oklahoma City. That place is great. Well,
and that's where I was going with. You also perform as a group and individually at very small, very local events. What did you say you were scheduled up for a VFW or something this week?
Rancho Cucamonga Friday night at Post 8680, as long as they get that liquor license. So
venues like that, what do they sit?
130.
So, that's pretty good size.
That's not bad. You know, but then you look here and, you know, you got 500 here, and then the Pressure Valley Event Center was, you know, 7,000 people there, you know.
A lot of seats. But
it also goes back to doing these shows for veterans. You know, that's why I like when I started working with Armed Forces Entertainment, because we go out where a lot of entertainers don't go. Yeah. I mean, we'll take a 40, you know, maybe to an hour minute Blackhawk ride to do a show in a cafeteria on a small base with 30, maybe. I did a tour. We did shows for like 7 people because they were available and wanted to laugh.
Yeah.
You know, and we will just go as comics. You go anywhere anyway, you know, like you always remember the really weird gigs compared to the 1,200.
I was going to ask, what 3,000
seater, you know,
what are some of the road stories that,
That was fun. I mean, we'd already done shows for these guys, but there was, what were there, like 7 guys that wanted to see us perform, but they were having to pull an overnight shift. Yeah. And so we ended up doing just a random show for them. They just added, they're like, hey, will you perform for these guys? And we're like, sure. So, you know, and it was a great show. We're performing, and basically this patio dropped down into this gully overlooking Africa. And we had, you know, there's baboons and boars and everything, warthogs, just right, like just right, you know, deer coming up to the table. It was a crazy place.
Well, because we go to these places and they're like, hey, you know, we run 24-hour shifts, you know, and these guys won't be able to do, you know, see you. Is there any way you can do another show? And we're like, yeah, we came here. Yeah. They're here. Let's do it.
And what's that appreciation level for those
amazing
guys and girls out there that
differs, really. Like, to be honest, you know, like we did an Air Force base where they didn't seem to care too much, you know. I think they had
everybody. I mean, the smoke pit.
The Air Force, you know, they have Wi-Fi everywhere, so they were streaming Netflix, like watching a better comedy special during our show.
They set us up for like 300 people, and then across that 300 people was this smoke pit. And so everybody sat way over in that smoke pit. So we're just—I mean, they were scattered out in the crowd, whatever, and then everybody, and so it's like you can't hear them, you don't know what's going on. But then when you get off stage, everybody's like, that was a great show, you know, like really.
The problem was probably more the setup than the people,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Because the smoke pit where everyone was hanging out and smoking was probably 75 yards away.
Yeah.
So, and you know, and so we're basically playing to this group of that's 75 yards away. But also, too, we're doing shows when it's, you know, 100, maybe 90 at night.
Yeah.
You know, and just the weirdest setup for comedy. But they're there and they're laughing. So, you know, it's still good.
Yep.
And so what happens when you get sick? Out in the middle of nowhere.
I told these guys before I went on, I was fighting it bad.
Don't get too graphic, Will.
No, I won't. I'll keep it clean, but I'm like, I told these guys, I'm like, if I look to the left and you're standing there, I'm coming off stage, and I had to bail. But yeah. I was sick for, 3 days? It was just real bad. I got really sick over there. Yep. But we downed some NyQuil and DayQuil, and I just kept on going and made my way through it. But it was brutal there for a minute. But
don't drink the water, huh?
Maybe that's what it was. I don't know what happened, but
other than the intestinal damage, you guys ever in a spot where you were facing some danger? Do you get out?
Not as personally danger, but I don't know how serious this is. But we got really, I thought it blessed or whatever you want to call it. And to be on a serious note, had a troop that offed themselves while we were in Kuwait, and it was crazy because the base commander asked us if we would go out and speak to this unit. And they were on the outskirts of the base, and they did. They drove us out there, and it was really emotional, and we thought that was the end of it. But mm-hmm. they bust that whole unit into our show that night, and we ended up in this packed hangar, basically. And just everybody come together through laughter was amazing. It was probably the most amazing thing I've ever.
Probably the highlight of that tour.
It was really, it was awesome.
Just being able to talk seriously to those troops who had just lost their buddy yesterday.
They were coming back from the wake or whatever, you know, from the funeral. And
they
brought
came out and laughed. They got some of the best medicine, which is laughter, you know, and they forgot about it for an hour and a half.
It was really a neat experience to be a part of that. It was.
How do you guys utilize that therapeutic opportunity you have through humor with guys either stateside who have seen some horrible things or ones that are currently away from their families? And
well, most of our shows we kind of we just kind of let them forget shows overseas. We kind of just let them forget about what's going on, and we take them back to a comedy club that's in the States, you know. So, you know, we try not to talk too much about, you know, the serious stuff that's going on while we're on stage, but off stage, we'll, you know, I just thought that, like, you know, with 22 veterans dying a day of suicide, and then, you know, us trying to bring awareness to that, for mm-hmm. us to be there for these guys and them for us, you know, was kind of like why we went over there, you know, almost for like that one moment.
Give them a little escape. Let them forget for a little bit. Right.
Yeah.
You mentioned one thing that Sean did. I'm sorry, Eric, go ahead.
Sorry. You mentioned the therapeutic aspect of it, and that I would just like to point out that it goes both ways. And probably,
that's what I was gonna say.
We probably receive more good vibes or whatever it is that we're giving people. People come up and say, man, you just, you know, some people will say you know, the greatest things, like you just changed everything, or you know, this means so much because my dad, blah, 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 or my husband, blah, 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 and this just did everything for me, you know. But it's like 10 times that for us. I mean, just to, because I'm a guy who has had a lot of failure in my life, you know, a lot of shortcomings, really, and this is like, I'm finding like my niche, my groove, you know, and to have somebody tell me how much my jokes helped them is just surreal, really. I mean, and it really heals me and makes me understand that that all those shortcomings in my past don't define me, and that maybe right here and right now and even further into the future is what I'm really supposed to be doing and what we're really here for.
I want to reiterate what Sean said, and that's one thing that Sean brought to our attention when we were landing to start that tour, is not to treat them like they're in the military. We're going to treat each one of these shows like we're back at an improv or we're at the Comedy Store. And that's how, you know, Sean presents it. And that's how we presented the shows. It's like we forgot that these guys were in uniform or whatever. It was just like we're doing what we do is the same that we do back in the States. And we found that by doing that, it lets them forget for a little bit what's going on. I like the fact that, you know, you're talking about therapy, and Eric's talking about that, but, you know, like that girl we met, that Barbara Evans or whatever, you know, it's like, I don't know if I should use her name, but it doesn't matter anyway. But we see that, you know, maybe she's struggling in the Army after that death. At that time, she was fighting her weight. She was depressed now. She just lost one of her comrades. now we reached out, we saw some warning signs, and we presented it, you know, and Eric sent a message to the commander, and they did, and they got with her, and she was having problems. Now she's dropped 50 pounds. She's running 5Ks.
Yeah, we've been following her on there.
She's, yeah, you know, but she's re-upping in the middle, you know, it's, yeah, like, and you, that's the kind of stuff that's rewarding, I think, you know, so, yeah, and it's, yeah, it's very therapeutic both ways.
Yeah.
Do you see a difference in the reception of your audiences from, say, a stateside base when you're performing for the troops, as opposed to overseas, or maybe in an area that's like, I don't know, and this may sound dumb, like in Europe where they're not at risk of action, but at any given time, I guess any base is at risk.
Yeah.
Do you see a difference depending on where they're stationed, or is it does that even come into play?
It's weird because, like, I did a base and we were, like, really close to the Syrian border, and they were saying how, you know, 30 miles to the border and then 30 miles past that is, like, you know, ISIS. And when we were in this hangar doing the show, it was just like we were in a funny bone somewhere, yeah, doing a show. Mm-hmm. And then when you're done and you walk out, you're like, oh, we're back in this dump.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, hopefully they feel it, and I think they do, and, you know, it's just an honor for us to be able to do it for the troops, and then, you know, having them feel like they're back home and feel like things are kind of normal, and, you know, it's just mind-blowing.
It's hard to tell. I wanted to, just from my experience, I think the answer to your question is no, it's not different, really, from stateside or Europe or in the theater of operations. Because what I was really impressed with the soldiers and the Marines that we met is that they were so professional and so locked on and so acting like it doesn't bother them, whatever it is that bothers them, right, which is kind of the problem with depression and suicides, yeah, I think, because, you know, they got to be tough. They got to have their game face on all the time, and there's no time for weakness or, hey, man, my feelings are hurt. You know, yeah, so there's none of that kind of talk, and there should be. And that's kind of the message we spread while we were out there, is that it's okay to talk to your friends about something. You know, everybody has something going on back home or whatever, but you couldn't tell it. You really couldn't. Even those guys we went and talked to who had lost their buddy, I think we cried more than them.
Yeah.
They didn't break at all, really.
Now, as touring comics, whether that be together as the veterans of comedy or individually, you guys are on the road. How much?
A lot.
As much as possible. That's the thing.
Yeah. I was going to ask, well, how does that affect your family life? But it looks like maybe that's why you want to be away, huh? My wife keeps telling me I need to go on the road. I just don't have any skills to take on the road.
Reason, huh?
Well, I mean, it's an odd thing. It's like, you know, usually as an entertainer, you meet somebody and they're in awe of it, and then after a while, they're just like, ugh.
Yeah, where's the paycheck?
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as we bring home a good paycheck, it's okay. But, you know, it's tough. I miss my kids a lot, yeah, you know, which is a new thing for me as a comedian. You know, my boy's almost four now, and I've been doing stand-up, oh, wow, for 10 years. So the first 6 years, I'd go out of town and miss the burritos from San Diego or something. Now, I miss a child, which is like something different. Yeah, Don Carlos. El Nino, shout out. Yeah.
That's tomorrow.
Eat a burrito. Hey, Ryan, we're coming there. Right, I think, yeah. Is it? Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah, eat a burrito.
What a great age, though, four. I'm 50 this year, and I've got a six-year-old at home. He's definitely, not a mistake, a surprise. My wife and I were married 15 years, and we find out everybody thought he was my grandson. I'd be pushing him through the store. Oh, you knew Grandpa?
A lot of people say a mistake. They should always say surprise.
No, yeah, you know, I was
just
because
they're late.
Yeah. It was a mistake. Yeah,
I know I was. Yeah. I was the youngest of six. My mom, no, she reminds me daily.
Yeah, my mom is trying.
My mom, my mom always says I was a mistake, and I was planned. I'm like, really?
Okay. It's tough sometimes when you come, you know, you go and you come and basically you come home, you do laundry and you repack. I think that's the toughest thing, you know, is just
doing laundry.
It takes care of a lot of stuff while you're gone, you know, and it's like you come in and you just kind of ramshack things, yeah, and you're right back out again, you know, and it's like a kiss on the cheek. Hey, how you doing? You know, and that's the tough part. And I agree with Eric. It's like, you know, I find that I'm missing my wife more now out on the road.
Me too.
I miss your wife so bad.
Nice. I miss it all the time.
You guys all married?
Eric and I are married, and Sean's common law married.
Yeah. So, Sean's not married, but he's trapped.
Yeah. Deep in it. Why is it like quicksand after a while? You try to get out, and you just get deeper and deeper.
The sand feels good, though.
Depends That's on where why. It goes, man. It can chafe awful hard sometimes. talk about on your non-veteran tours, when you're just out hitting the clubs and going around, any ugliness that you've ran across, any bad gigs that you care to share?
Yeah, no comment. Everybody I've ever worked with has been great. I love all the bookers and club managers.
We got paid on time.
Yeah,
it's always been great.
I love how they always put our name on the marquee.
I mean, gigs never get canceled, right at the last minute when you're driving there.
Like the one maybe on Friday because no liquor license. How long, Willie, how long you been doing stand-up?
Going on 21 years in January.
Oh, man. So. Sean?
2 years.
2 years. In dog years? What?
I don't know, like maybe 10 or 12, something like that.
Yeah. I'm coming up on 11, I think.
And so you are the veteran of the veterans, huh?
I maybe have been doing it longer, but these guys are better.
He's the grand old man of the BOC.
These guys are... I chose these guys for a reason.
Yeah.
So I want to be out here with these guys. It's a solid show.
Good deal. Now tonight we're recording. This will drop. I'll put this up on Monday. I
launch
on Mondays.
Yeah, this will give me a lot of the
show tonight. But tonight, tonight is any special significance for you guys or how you're preparing it being Veterans Day today or is it just
I like
another
the fact
gig?
That we're here on Veterans Day doing this for myself. I have a lot of people that I, believe it or not, went to high school with from Missouri that just happen to live in all these areas, and I haven't been here in a long time in this area to perform. So for me, it's kind of cool to be here on Veterans Day, but actually be able to see a lot of friends I haven't seen in a long time. I talked to the booth out there. They said the show is looking like it's going to be amazing tonight.
Nice.
So that's always nice to hear. So they're expecting a packed house, so we'll see what happens. So.
That's good. I didn't know that.
Anything you guys got coming up that you want to plug? Or
I'm headed to the Midwest, so I will be with David Koechner, which is Champ from Anchorman. We're doing the Kansas City Improv December 10th through the 13th. I'm headlining Stanford and Sons December 23rd through 27th, and then that's what I got coming up. So
I'm trying to think what I got. I don't know. You go, Sean.
Well, I mean, it's funny, you know, since we started this, we've all kind of got TV shows that are in development, and I just shot a national commercial a couple days ago, and Eric was on Laughs the other day, and, you know, so as a group, we do the Veterans of Comedy, but then, you know, all of our other stand-up stuff has gone up, too, you know, and... Just plugging away.
Listing bookers. We're not cheap, but we're definitely worth it. We come with a lot of credits, and you're going to get your money's worth.
I was looking at your YouTube channel a little bit ago when I was setting up in here. Very interactive, leaving questions, answering questions. It's like inviting Sean into your living room, kind of.
Yeah, but I kind of got sucked into the YouTube world, and it's just another medium that I've been playing around with, and I had a video kind of go viral with like 4 million views on Facebook, and it's
was
just,
that your response to the
fat shaming trash girl? But it just kind of opened up another avenue of fans that are like really supportive on YouTube and stuff, and then you know from that they're like, oh, you're a comic, and then oh, you're a veteran. You know, it just kind of spills over, which is fun. You know, so. Just it's got a whole nother group of people, you know, just trying to grow it, you know.
Well, it's been a pleasure, guys. I see you looking at your watch.
Eric, what do you have coming up?
Your website?
I don't have any. I'm retiring after the show.
Yeah. Yeah. We're done after
My website's down right now. I'm in bad shape, man. Y'all buy our t-shirts, man.
He wasn't lying when he said he had some bad luck, did he?
I'm supposed to be writing a sitcom right now.
Supposed to be?
Yeah, I just don't know how to.
Unless the producer's listening, he's hard at work, and there's no such thing as writer's block.
Yeah. But I've got a bunch of shows coming up in San Diego. I'm at the Riviera Supper Club December 9th, I think. The Comedy Palace in San Diego. I've got shows coming up at Madhouse Comedy Club. San Diego's my home base. When I'm not out on the road, I'm grinding it out there everywhere.
And we're also trying to get like a bar tour together. You know, we want to do VFWs and, you know, biker bars and stuff. So we want to go, you know, maybe hit bars around military bases, you know, and just get out to more of the smaller venues, but do more shows. So, you know, if anybody has a bar that they want us to come to, or, you know, their favorite, you know, watering hole anywhere, you know, hit us up.
Contact us.
Yeah, contact us. And, you know, because we're starting to get, you know, a starting point and an end point for a run.
And do a whole tour on it. Huh?
And have a budget.
So
a lot of people think we want to do it for free.
Yeah,
that's the weirdest thing that gets me about this is because we are veterans and we're saying, you know, we want to give back to veterans. Everybody's like, oh, well, you want to give back to veterans. We'll come do a free show. But this is what we do for a living, folks.
Yeah. So it's not a charity.
You're not going to go to your buddy that works at Carlin and like, hey, give me that Honda. You know, it's like it's the same thing. And it's like, you know, we have to get paid like everybody else. So.
Now, when you guys tour around, do you fly? Do you drive?
I'm not trying to brag, but I do have a Prius Sport.
Ooh.
It's got leather and a spoiler, and we take that a lot because we get good gas mileage in it. And I do most of the driving. I have asked the others to join in on the drive, but that lasted about 2 miles.
He acts like he's this amazing driver when he sleeps more while he's driving than both of us.
But here's the deal.
And then you know that when someone's sleeping while they're driving, you're like, hey man, they're like, what? Well, I wasn't sleeping.
I was nodding bad yesterday.
I've done that whole trip from Phoenix up to Prescott and woke up and I'm in my driveway.
How did that happen? Eric took over the wheel yesterday, literally lasted. He drove a little bit.
Did you move into the driver's seat or did you just take over the wheel?
Just reached over.
No, we went about 2 miles and he looks over, he's like, this isn't going to work. He's like, I am nodding off already. I'm like, all right.
I'm terrible,
but have you ever been in the back seat and you're so tired and you see the person driving going off, sleeping and then you're like, oh, screw it.
What happens.
If we die, it'll be in our sleep.
Go to sleep. That's the easiest way to go.
I saw Sean looking at me, so I moved the rearview mirror so I didn't have to look at him looking at me falling asleep.
Because his eyes already closed all the time anyway. And I'm like...
Years ago, I did a trip from Sacramento to Mississippi with a buddy of mine, and we left in the middle of the night, and he goes, I'll drive, you lay down. I was laying down in a van. He goes, oh, come on in. That was a joke.
It's like one of these trips where you have to get rid of a body?
Well, no, kind of. I think he was trying to get rid of mine. But we start driving in the middle of the night, leaving Sacramento. He goes, I'll drive you, because I was coming from work. He goes, you sleep, I'll work. I'll drive, and you just crash out, and I zonked out. And he wakes me up, and he goes, hey, wake up. I can't drive anymore. And I kind of stretch. I look up, bright sun, stinking hot out. I'm middle of nowhere. I'm thinking we might be in, you know, Arizona already. I didn't know. So we pull off to the side of the road. I stretch a little bit. He zonks out, and I look at the clock, and it's we had left probably 4 a.m. It's like 3 p.m.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, man, I went out.
Yeah.
And I drove maybe 2 miles, and I see a sign, Merced. He had pulled over and slept. And then when he heard me waking up, he jumped back on the road and woke me up to drive.
Oh, that's funny. It's gone 20 miles.
So who's the worst traveling companion of the three?
That's probably me.
Eric falls asleep instantly in a car.
See, that's a good travel.
I have four kids. I let him do it because I know with the four kids that he's.
That's the only time he gets peace and quiet.
It really is, man. When I get quiet and still, it's over.
I'll be talking, and then all of a sudden he's just like, I got. Okay, I guess I'm not getting an answer on that. And he's out cold.
Well,
but it's amazing, though, that you'll wake up when we finally get there. That's when he wakes up. He's like, oh, man.
Right when we pull in, he's like, hey.
And I'm like, what?
But it's weird. He sleeps in his underwear. That's what makes it really uncomfortable.
His pants outside the window.
Get comfy, man.
And snuggles up.
I have a comfy car, and I must be a decent driver if you guys are willing to fall asleep while I'm driving.
Yeah. Curl up in my tidy whities in the passenger seat.
Or you guys just want to be awake when I wreck.
You got to GoPro that for your YouTube channel. That's what we need, man.
We'll do that.
Who's the Slav on the road? Who would you not want to be around?
Nobody can be because I don't give them time.
Yeah,
to be.
Will's a super clean freak.
I mean, I'm really,
it's so OCD that it's as annoying as a Slav.
Man, I'm OCD enough just to be annoying and not clean.
It's almost to the point, like, my repetitiveness and my cleanliness causes a little bit of turmoil here and there, but we get through it.
Will and I are the total opposite. I guess if anybody's a slob, it'd be me. Like, I can lay down and take a nap in a pile of dirty laundry. And it,
right. Sounds like you
and
have.
Get up and go. Yeah.
That does sound comfortable.
It is.
I pick up everything.
Yeah, where you sleep on a ladder.
And it smells like all your experiences. Yeah. Nice.
Like, I have to
your
clean
dreams.
Everything before I, like, the room, like, we check in the hotel. I'm like, trust me, lady, you don't need an incidental or anything from us because I'm going to clean this room better than it was cleaned before I walked in. And I do. I just, there's things I have to do. I can't help it. So, you know, so.
Yeah, and I just laugh at them and go to sleep.
They do stuff. They'll mess up beds on purpose just to piss me off, you know, and stuff like that. It drives me insane.
Yeah, he makes the bed at a hotel. There's a lady who gets paid to do that. You're like stealing jobs from
stealing
Mexicans.
Jobs,
but I like
man.
To fold the towels a certain way, and, you know, I don't know. I can't handle water spots on faucets. It drives me insane, so I got to wipe down stuff. So
it's in three branches of the military. That's why you got to shine all the bright work.
I got to iron. As soon as I get in a hotel room, I have to iron. So
you've been out for, I don't know how long. He's got a boot shine kit still that he travels with.
That's crazy.
Still stamps his underwear with his name on it.
Stamps his underwear on there.
That's just so he doesn't lose them.
See, told you.
Says the C.
You guys are fun.
All right. We'll let Jill come in. It looks like she was trying to poke her head in. Again, all right. Guys, thank you so much.
Us. Appreciate it.
I hope it wasn't...
Can we plug real quick here?
Please.
You guys, please follow us. We're the Vets of Comedy on Twitter. We're the Veterans of Comedy on Facebook. Go to our website, which is theveteransofcomedy.com. Keep in touch with us for our upcoming shows, and hopefully we'll be in your area and you'll come out and see us. So.
Well, or call them up and pull the kitty together and get that bar.
Follow us
going.
On Twitter, and you know, I know it may not mean much to people when they just click a like on our Facebook page, but it means a lot to us. And
absolutely.
Trying to get our numbers up there so people are like, oh, they're good, you know, but.
It's sad when Tom is the only one that likes you.
You want to get the numbers out. You're on the wrong podcast.
But also, not after like this, man. We're going to boost your listeners.
Can we talk about coming back and maybe making that a yearly show at Press Fit?
He had to pick up
that's
his
what
date.
I was smelling.
He said he'd be here by 7:30.
Okay.
But I told him, I'm like, we want to come back, and I think it's been long enough. Let's do it. So.
We'd love to have you back, and there's a couple of smaller venues up there, too, that we can...
Then why aren't we up there?
I don't know.
Let's do it.
What's going on?
We should play a bay at one of the Firestone dealership that we were hanging out at. How fun would that be? Right. You bring it up. We'll see, everybody.
This guy's a regular at Meineke.
That guy that sponsored that show, he kept on trying to sell us tires.
I was like, he did.
I'll give you one for free. You buy three, get one for free. I'm like, can I just have the one free one? Because I just need one tire.
How about that?
Good time. But yeah, hopefully we'll be to Prescott soon. I'd like to hook that
We'd
back
love
up
it. That would be great. So, all right.
This was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
I hope this isn't going to be one of those, I should leave this running when I walk outside so I can hear you go, man, we're never doing that, guys. Again.
No, this was a good time. Thank you.
I know sometimes you, I'm sure you have. Interviews that you'd rather forget. So,
no,
this wasn't one of them.
No,
we haven't had
this. Was a good time.
This is one of our top five.
Yeah, I was going to put this
on five. How many you've done? Four,
five.
Yeah.
This is
number five. Oh, nice. All right,
thanks, guys. Well, that was our show. I hope you enjoyed it. I sure enjoyed it sitting down and talking with the veterans of comedy. No laugh left behind is their motto, and they definitely did not leave anyone without laughter on Veterans Day at the Tempe Improv. So thank you again to Sean Halpin, Willie C., and Eric Knowles, and the staff over at the Tempe Improv. Thank you so, so much. Now, before we close out, again, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, each and every Monday on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and at milehighshow.com is where you can find the show. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as well. Links are right there on our website. And look forward to, over the next few weeks, we've got some special shows. Our Star Wars show, which was just recorded, where we talked with a panel of local so-called experts on the world of Star Wars. My conversation with Bronx Billy O'Connor, is coming up, as well as Phoenix Comics, Darrell Johnson, and Christopher Royer. We've got some great stuff lined up for the near future, so stick around, subscribe, jump on iTunes, leave us a rating, a comment, and above all, Support your local entertainers. Go on out, find where the fun is, and enjoy yourself.
Chicago way, and he had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft, but then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, he's blowing reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he could not jam. The captain seemed to understand, because the next day the cap went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. A root, a toot, a tootly, a toot. He blows an H to the bar in boogie rhythm. He can't blow a note unless a bass and guitar is playing with him. And the Tony Johnson, he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He was the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. And when he plays boogie woogie bugle, he was busy as a busy bee. And when he plays, he made the company jump a to the bar. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Da 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 da. Boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He puts the boys to sleep with Boogie every night and wakes them up the same way in the early fright. They clap their hands